The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Welcome back to The Last Word. It's Ian Guider sitting in for Matt today. Well, just after lunchtime, we had that news that Green Party leader Eamon Ryan was stepping down from his position and will not be standing as a TD for Dublin Bay South. He will continue on as Minister for the Environment and Climate while the party picks a new leader. He's with us here in studio. Mr. Ryan, thank you very much for coming in. We've also had the news in the last couple of minutes that your deputy, Catherine Martin, won't be seeking the leadership and she will be stepping down as deputy leader as well. Is the Green Party in a bit of a crisis?
No, it's normal to change leaders. Other parties have done it. And I've been leading for 13 years, actually. Catherine's been deputy leader for the same period. And I think it is time, for a variety of different reasons, to pass the torch to a new generation, to let others take on that role. I think this government has still a lot of work to be done. It's not finished. And we, I think all three leaders have said we want to see out the mandate. And I think by stepping down for me after the local and European elections, it's the right time. It allows any new person to step into the role. But also for me, fundamentally, I've been thinking about this for a good while and fairly clear, you know, what I was going to do, because in truth, I won't be standing in the next general election, and therefore we need to select a new candidate for Dublin Bay South as well, and to give that person time and give our own group time. That's why I decided to do it, and I think it's a natural, normal, healthy thing in Irish politics that you're not there for life. You're there. Firstly, you have to be elected, but secondly, I think it's absolutely right to kind of to have changed the leadership on a not a routine basis, but, you know, in an organised way. And that's what we are doing.
Leo Varadkar, when he stepped down as leader of Fine Gael back at the end of March, said he did it so that his successor could have time for a run-in to the local elections to get candidates elected for the general election. Surely if this has been on your mind for some time, that was equally the same time to do it.
Yeah, and you make a judgment call on that, and I fully understand, you know, what Leo's thinking and timing. But for me, I thought it was better to really push through the local and European elections. The fact that Leo was stepping down at the same time also made, you know, that would have been quite a significant change just at the one time. I think doing it in this staggered way probably
actually. And a benefit of Fine Gael, whereas the Green Party saw the loss of your two MEPs and having the number of your councillors.
Yeah, we had a mixed, bittersweet election. There was
it wasn't mixed, you lost half your councillors.
We did, but we also topped the poll in a number of places and we got a lot of very good councillors elected. But you're right, I mean, I hope that we would do better, and we will now knuckle down and look to make sure we do better in the general election when it comes next March or whenever sooner than that. So that's our focus. And I've spent the last few days, I was saying when I was stepping down, I talked to all 130 of our candidates, trying to contact all of them, wasn't able to talk to everyone. But they were in really strong, determined mood. We're focused on changing the country for the better, as we see it, by going green and doing that in every way we can, where we have councillors or where we don't. We're deeply rooted into the Irish political system and local communities, and it's those people working in local communities which will provide our long-term strength.
Your two colleagues in government have made soundings, mostly off the record, to the various papers that the election may not be coming at the end of next March, that it may be sooner. If it is going to be later on this year, you've surely, and has Catherine Martin by her decision, done some damage to your party's chances of retaining whatever seats you have.
I don't think so. Well, firstly, both party leaders and myself have consistently said, I think, that we thought the government should serve its full mandate. There's work to be done, and we can deliver affordable housing, health reform, climate action in these remaining months. And I think there won't be a good reason for giving that up. You know, it is a functioning government. It works well. We have our differences. We have our, you know, different views.
They fancy their chances in the polls of beating Sinn Féin. That's why they go quicker.
Yeah, but if that's just your calculus, I think the electorate would read that fairly quickly as well, that you're thinking about the party's interest rather than the national interest. And I think when it comes to government, you've got to think the nation. You've got to think bigger than that.
Let's turn to some of the issues, and we get lots of text into the show here, and a lot of them talk about the Green Party's attitude to policy, that yes, we all know the climate is burning. We do know the changes that we have to implement to save the environment, to make our lives a lot better, but that it's the way you sell them to people.
Yeah, and I've consistently for years have said the way you sell them is important, that you start by listening. You ask people for help rather than telling them what to do. You admit uncertainties, like some of the changes are, you know, you have to work out as you're doing it, what is the best way forward. You speak to the heart and not just the head, that you're inspired by, you know, improving all our lives, not just a kind of a fixation on any one target or any one number. But we also need to change. And one of the things I'm proudest, particularly in these last 4 years in government, we have fundamentally changed the direction of the country. It is happening. We are switching to renewable power in a way that won't be stopped. We are changing the transport system to really prioritise and promote public transport and walking and cycling. Not being anti-car.
But people don't feel that. People feel that you're shoving it down their throats, particularly around issues around cycling. And you bring up, you enacted the climate law. I've spoke to you about that and about retrofitting. And people feel, I don't have the money for that, but it's being forced down to me.
Going this direction will save us money. We've just introduced a new home loan scheme, which is 3% interest rate, €70,000 unsecured for 10 years, that will allow people not only make the home much better, but also save money in the bills. And so they're this sort of example. I mean, retrofitting is really working. Like, this country is going green. 1,000 houses a week are being retrofitted. That's bigger than, more per capita than any other country I can think of. And it's happening because people like it, because they're seeing neighbours who've done something similar and say, well, God, we can do that too, to wake up in the morning into a warm house just on the heat caught from the day before. And it's the same across, I mean, I give you an example in transport. If you look at the three main stations, the big stations outside Dublin, you look at Kent Station in Cork, Kent Station in Galway, Plunkett Station in Waterford, Colbert Station in Limerick, they're all being done up. They're all being developed in a way where we're going to see a revival of public transport. And people are flocking to it. Like, we halved public transport fares for young people under 26. We provided a new rural bus service every week. And it's working. Now, the people are kind of moving with their feet to kind of switch to that better alternative. So, yes, change is never difficult. Like, when you're... lastly, just the one you mentioned there, cycling. I firmly believe that we'll be far better off when we create a safe environment for our children to be able to walk and cycle to school, for us to have a safe environment, a street. And that's difficult when you're changing it. It's not popular when you've got proposals and you haven't seen the benefit of them. But that's starting to happen. People are starting to see that it does work. And that's why I'm confident this switch to a greener way won't be reversed. We have set us on a course that I think will be maintained.
You said we're winning, and we're winning here in Ireland, but let's look at the rest of the world. You played pivotal roles in COP, you played pivotal roles in the Nature Restoration Law, the EU. Do you really think that we are saving the planet?
No, I think we're in a very perilous position. I have to be honest with people. As you say, I've been involved in the international climate negotiations. We did... I mean, Ireland's a small country, but we have a strong voice in international affairs for a variety of reasons. We did fundamentally improve the climate justice by investing in establishing the Loss and Damage Fund. But this November, we're going into further negotiations. And in truth, we're not seeing the scale of investment, particularly in developing countries, that'll make it work. It is happening in Europe, China and America. There is actually, like, there was more renewable power built last year than fossil. And it is going renewable. 85% of new power generation was renewable. But it's happening now in a race between China, Europe and America. Is it happening in Latin America and in Africa and elsewhere? It's not. So we do need to scale that up. We do need to do a hell of a lot more.
You mentioned in your speech at government buildings today about the online reaction to some of your policies, the trolls, the algorithms of social media companies. And I can tell you now, the text messages in front of my screen aren't that favourable. What message does that send out to anybody who's considering joining the Green Party or running for the Green Party, be it for leadership or for elected office, that this is what's going to happen?
Well, one thing I'd say, the real world is quite different. I mean, talking to our candidates, and it's the same in other parties, in just coming out of this recent local and European elections, going door to door, you'd be amazed at how strong the civic, decent engagement is in Irish politics still. It's rare you come across someone who's really angry. And maybe a person has a right to be angry. what you do in those circumstances, you listen and you kind of accept that's their view. But actually, the vast majority of people are want to engage in politics in a civil way in the real world. That online characterization, it doesn't help. It doesn't help because it tends to breed conspiracies and it tends to promote polarization. And it's difficult. I mean, I'm not so worried about myself or any of the comments. I'm used to it at this stage. But I do worry that it makes the agenda for change more difficult, that people might think, well, God, you can't do that because it's so unpopular. And that is a real challenge. The only solution, the only antidote, is to make sure you've independent, impartial, trusted media sources so that conspiracies don't take hold, so that there is accurate information, and so that we balance political debate. So that, I mean, I think by and large we're well served in Ireland. I mean, if I compare it to the UK at the moment, where you couldn't say that about UK media, it's very divided. I think we don't have that, and we need to protect that impartiality and that independence. That's important.
You were true of that government in 2011 where the Green Party were wiped out in the wake of the financial crisis. Is the party heading for similar results whenever the next election?
I don't believe so. There were very extreme circumstances back in 2011. And to a certain extent, the fact that we came back, the first time ever I think an Irish political party has, just makes the case there is a space and a need for a green political philosophy, a green voice. So I think it'll come back. We have also this time a really experienced, I mean, we had a good team last time, but this time we've 16 members of our parliamentary party that are really experienced, that have been out there delivering very progressive change. Like our delivery in this government, that time back in 2011 was about getting the country out of a deep hole. And we did that to the best of our ability. This time we go to the public with a record of real substantive change for the better, and I think that will help us in the end.
And just very briefly, what do you want to do next? Are you going to take a job at an NGO, maybe look for a gig internationally within an environmental group?
The reason I'm stepping down more than anything else is I can't run in the next general election because I also have other commitments at home. I can't be kind of keep going 24/7, 6 days a week. So one of the first things I'll do will be spending time with my family. We have a son with special needs. I said it earlier on today. You have to serve that family role as well. But I will continue to work in climate environment. I will be... I'll look at whatever different way I can do that. And also our party, I believe it has a really important role in our country, not just on the environmental side, but in the social agenda as well. So I will keep going, but it won't be in elected public office.
Eamon Ryan, outgoing Green Party leader, Dublin-based South TD and Minister for Environment, Climate and also the Minister for Transport. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.